This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my.
Welcome to another episode of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. This is episode 132, and I've titled it, In the Shadow of the Glory. On this show, if you've listened to us very much, you know that we play a lot of music that of songs that I've written over the years that the Lord has inspired me to write. We interview people about their journey of faith. We talk about the scriptures, but it's always with a focus on that journey with Jesus. I'm a Jesus man. There's an old rock and roll song back when I was in college that said, Jesus is a soul man, and I'm sure sold on him. That might sound corny, but there's a lot of truth there. I'm sold on him. I've been sold on him for many years, and all I want to do is show all of us, encourage all of us, that the greatest thing in life is to be a follower of Jesus and to know him. Paul said he considered everything just refuse and just nothing in comparison to these three truths, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So, we're going to play songs from my most recent CD, which we released in 2018. God has allowed me to record 10 different projects. Never had a whole lot of money, never had a big budget. But he's been good to me and has allowed me to record 10 different projects of songs that he's given me over the years. And this is my most recent. I figured it out. I do a CD about once every 7 years. This one was 2018. I don't know what's happening in 2025, but that's only 2 years away. But we're going to just go through these songs, and I want to talk about a little bit each song. I want to read you the dedication of this record before we play it. I might explain a little bit of what I mean by living in the shadow. This album is dedicated to unsung heroes and unknown soldiers in the service of the Lord who live out their lives in obscurity, trying to simply obey the call and please the one who called them. They will never know the glare of the spotlight, but have chosen to walk in the shadow of a greater glory. They are like the treasure hidden in the field, unnoticed and ignored, but a treasure nonetheless. There will come a moment in time when their reward will become evident to all, and the last will be first. And as they continue to live in that shadow, they discover the immeasurable beauty of the peaceful path on a journey of close fellowship with Jesus. I hope this album encourages everyone to find that path. So the first song I'm going to play is simply called Living in the Shadow. And when I first started singing it, I think the real meaning of it just kind of glossed over a lot of people. It's not one of those typical gospel songs. But the point of it is, the greatest treasure in life is to walk a simple life in fellowship with Jesus. Some of the goals that we've had in the past turn out to be not that great. Career, money, all these ambitious things. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to be able to walk a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. So here's the first song on my album, Living in the Shadow.
Shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. I have chosen to abandon the ambitions of the past in pursuit of things that quickly fade. I have traded them all for a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. Things that used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. That used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, just a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. Living in the shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. In the shadow of the glory of the Lord.
There's a popular movie out maybe 10, 20 years ago, probably 20 years ago, called The Book of Eli. And in that book, Denzel Washington played a character who was taking a package across America, and it was a mission of his. It was important that he get it to a certain place in San Francisco, I believe it was the town. And when he finally got there, after a lot of attacks and a lot of danger, they opened it up, and I believe it was at a printing press. And somebody looked in and said, "What is it?" And what it was an old Bible, an old sort of beat-up Bible. And Denzel Washington, one of the last lines in that movie, said, "It's beat up, but it will do the job." And that's true. In many places, it's beat up, but it will never fail. It will never go away. So this is leaning on the Word of God.
Is alive and active, and sharper than a double-edged sword. Throughout history, men have tried to vilify it, attack it, and beat it down. But I read somewhere that a wise man said, "The Bible is an anvil that has broken many hammers." It's been twisted and misused, resisted and refused. It's been criticized and ridiculed, politicized and it's the Word of God, and it will last forever. Though heaven and earth may pass away, and let me say, just for the record, here I'll stay. Leaning on the Word of God. Some have tried to dilute it. Some have tried to refute it. Some have even tried to remove it from the face of the earth, but they could never uproot it. Yes, it's the Word of God, and it will last forever. Though heaven stand. Here I'm gonna stay. I'm leaning on the word of God. Leaning on the word of God.
Yes, I am.
I'm leaning on the word of God.
The next song I want to play is a song I have sung for about 52 years. It took me a long time to record it. I sang it for years and never recorded it till 2018. We actually played a live version of it in last week's episode. But this is called All or Nothing. This song is a very special song to me. It's called The Night That Changed My Life. It's autobiographical. I came to Jesus when I was 8 years old. I think I may have told you this before, but I went to a church where people would go forward to kneel. It was a way of making it public. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to do it. There's nothing magical in it, but it's a simple way to humble yourself before God in front of people as a public testimony that you're giving your life to Jesus. When I was a very little kid, I saw people going up there, and I asked my mom one time if she would let me go, and she asked me, "Do you feel that's what God is saying to you?" And I said, no, I would like to go. She told me I couldn't go. But she had the wisdom to say, if you ever feel God leading you, go. You don't have to ask permission. If you feel that God is calling you, go. And it happened when I was 8 years old. That was 1957. And to this day, my relationship with Jesus, even though I'm 74 years old, is still a childlike faith, a childlike relationship. I go back to that night when basically all I wanted was to know that Jesus would be my best friend. Many years later, I was visiting my parents in South Carolina. I was living in Massachusetts at the time. And I went for a walk. It was a 3-mile walk. And on that walk, I passed the church where it all happened in my life, where the river, the source of the river, was right there. And my family started that church. My great-grandfather was the first pastor of it. Way back in the 1880s, I think. And I reminisced. My mind went back to that moment when it all began in my heart. And this song sprang from that walk as I walked by the church and looked to my left and saw the place where Jesus came into my heart. This is called The Night That Changed My Life.
No, I never wrote down the day, but I can take you to the spot where the Lord reached down from heaven and he came into my heart. I believe it was early summer. I was still a child when I heard Jesus call me, and I walked down the aisle. My mother knelt beside me. I remember it to this day. She put her arm around me and she began to pray. Then my tears started falling, for I was praying too. Then she asked, do you feel better now? And I smiled and I said, I do. My life. changed my life. The night that changed my life.
You're listening to Me and My 88 Friends, and this is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I'm playing songs from my most recent album, which was recorded in 2018, called Living in the Shadow. This is probably my favorite CD that I ever did. It just pleased me a lot. The musicians, the production, my wonderful producer, Rich Morpurgo, and we had a variety of songs. This next song that I'm going to play, we've played four so far. This is the fifth song on the CD. I started this song in 1979, I think it was. And I remember playing it to the great producer and artist and writer, Gary S. Paxton, in Nashville. And I sang the song to him, but even then, I didn't think the song was totally complete, and he agreed with me. Don't ask me why I sang it to him if I knew that it wasn't complete. But it's a song about America. It's called U.S. Americans, or Us Americans. A lot of people write patriotic songs, and I am patriotic. But I believe that as a country, we are constantly veering away from truly following God. Please don't get mad at me if I tell you I'm not sure we are a Christian nation. We are founded on Christian principles, but sin is rampant, and it seems like nobody wants to talk about sin. And yet the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. And we need a great revival. So after 1979, I sort of forgot about the song. I tucked it away. And as life would have it, and as America seemed to get worse and worse, I dusted this off and rewrote it. And basically, it's the main line is, I'm glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. But if we get to the point where we don't need God, the best years are in the past for us Americans. It's a somber song in a way, even though it's got a Latin beat. But this is a true, true conviction I have that we need to return to God as a country. And this is my song, U.S. Americans.
Top of the pile. We're Americans. We've been number one since before we can even recall. The richest, the strongest in the history of the world. The wonder of them all. And I'm glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. But if we get to the point where we don't need God, the best years are in the past for us America. We're Americans. We love our fun and the sun.
we spend our money long before we get paid. We're Americans, we love football and guns and 4th of July parade. We're Americans and we're starting to drift. The mood is beginning to shift. We're moving away from an earlier faith and closer to the edge of the cliff. Oh, I'm glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. But if we get to the point where we don't need God, the best years are in the past for us Americans. Chips fall where they may. I think it's time for us all to repent. God makes it plain, he makes it clear as day. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if they'll learn from their past mistakes and follow me again, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll come and heal the land. Oh, I'm glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. And if we turn back to God, I do believe the best years are still ahead for us Americans.
Us American.
Us American.
Us American.
US America.
Us American.
US America.
The next song is a love song that I wrote to my wife, who is the greatest treasure in my life other than my relationship with God. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and I sure did. I'd never have deserved her. I wrote a song for her on our wedding, at our wedding in 1975. And if you're a songwriter and you're going to write a song that's probably not going to be sung more than once, you really need to write it down and you need to record it. What happened to me, I never sang it but one time. And later on, when I tried to sing it, just practicing around, I couldn't remember a thing about it. I don't know what it went like. I don't know the words. And so I lived in shame all these years. We have a photograph, a book of our wedding photos. And it has a picture of me singing to her, and right beside it, we had an empty space where we were going to put the words of the song. And it's been blank for decades. Well, on my 40th wedding anniversary, I wrote her a song. Now, I told the Lord if he would give me the gift of songwriting, everything would be about him in some way. And there is a point in this song where it talks about a night, and this is a true story, that I knelt alone with God and asked him to bring my wife to me. I had been praying about it for a long time, but there was one particular night where I was alone. I was actually at the football field at night of Anderson University, and I knelt down and I said, God, would you give me the wife of your choice? And about a year later, I met Trish, and the rest is history. So I wrote this song, and I know Leon Russell wrote a song called A Song for You, but I named this love song just for you.
Just for you.
Here's another autobiographical song based on the early years of ministry. It pretty well tells the whole story. I don't think I need to tell you a lot about it. It's just called Trying to Obey the Call, and goes all the way back to the very early 1970s.
Three-piece band, bass, drums, and piano, that's all. didn't sound half bad, we didn't sound red hot, but we prayed real hard and we practiced a lot. We were singing for Jesus, trying to obey the call. We traveled all around for better or worse in a 1959 Cadillac hearse. The ride was smooth, but the tires were bald. Going town to town on a wing and a prayer. Didn't make much money, but we didn't care. It was all for Jesus, trying to obey the call. Nixon in the White House, hippies in the streets. Some people called us Jesus freaks. And I have to admit, we were caught up in it all. Songs got better and the hair grew long, and the Jesus movement kept coming on strong. And all the while we were trying to obey the law. We would ride into town in the afternoon, set up the equipment and get in tune. Then we'd gather in a circle and pray for the fire to fall. Pray to Jesus, help us tonight as we sing these songs with all our might. If we reach one person, Lord, it's worth it all. To fall. We were unknown soldiers fighting the fight, and so many others left and right fighting for Jesus, trying to obey the call. This all happened many years ago, and they still don't play me on the radio. And the crowds I draw run medium or small. But I got no regrets for the life I chose. I'm a happy man and I hope it shows. Been a great ride trying to obey the call. It's a good life.
When you've been singing and writing songs for 50-something years, some songs sort of grow outdated. The lyrics grow a little bit outdated. They were for a certain point in time. But the tune still remains. There have been several songs of mine where I realize they were for a period of time. And they would not be relevant, or the message might be relevant, but the gist of the song was just sort of outdated. It was for the 70s or the 80s. But the tune is still salvageable. And this is a song I love to sing. I love to play it. The band loves to play it. But I wrote a song in the early 70s called Tell Him You're Sorry. And it was sort of a blues style. Not sort of, it was. And I had never wanted to get rid of that tune. Again, I forgot some of it. So my memory's not that great, and I'm not that disciplined to write everything down sometimes. But I never could get that tune out of my mind. And so when we went to do this album, which we did in 2018, Living in the Shadow. By the way, you can buy this album through my website or on CD Baby. Anyway, when I went to do this album, I rewrote the lyrics. And this is a song about two friends who came to a parting of the ways at one point regarding their views toward religion. And one of them was a cynic, the other one became a believer. And they've not been together for a long, long time. And now they're back together and they're having a conversation many, many years later. This song is called A Simple Faith. The last line says, I still prefer a simple faith. And that's a true statement on my part. Here's A Simple Faith.
You told me my simple faith in Jesus was a passing phase. I would soon outgrow you said to me, time would make a difference. And there'd come a day when you'd say, I told you so. Then this is now. A lot has changed, but still somehow some things remain unscathed. And I still prefer a simple faith. I still believe, and Jesus loves me, this I know, it's still my thing, wherever I go. So here we are, we finally meet again. After all this time, I'm still proud to call you friend. And so you ask me, how did it all turn out? Did you change with time? Did you take a different route? Well, all I can say, that was then, this is now. My life has changed, but still somehow remain unscathed, and I still prefer a simple faith. I still prefer a simple faith. After all this time, I still prefer a simple faith.
You could safely call this song what they used to call invitational songs. Many of the old hymn books, they would have a whole section, invitational songs. These are songs where you're inviting people to turn from their sins and come to Jesus. Songs like Just As I Am, I Surrender All, Almost Persuaded. The hymn book is full of them. Songs that are sometimes pleading with people, sometimes trying to reason with people. Paul did that all the time. Always trying to, as they say in the business world, make the sale. In other words, don't want you just to hear about it. Would you like to make a decision to follow Jesus? I've been noticing on some of our episodes when I've interviewed people about their testimony, they will use two terms that may be sort of odd to those who weren't brought up in the Bible Belt, conservative church or whatever. In fact, most churches don't use it nowadays. But people used to say, I came under conviction. I was convicted of my sins. Jesus is the first one who said that. He said that the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin. That word convict means convince in the Greek language. I will convince, I will persuade you of your sins. And you can't really come to Jesus unless you feel you need forgiveness for your sins. People do a lot of things with sin now. I started to have an episode called Whatever Happened to Sin. But many people just redefine it and say, well, there is no sin. Other people deal with it in various ways. But the best way to deal with it is to face it full on and say, I am a sinner. And you can't do that unless you feel a real sense of regret about it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he shows you your sins. He makes you uncomfortable. He makes you realize that you need to change and that you need to follow Jesus and you need him to take your sin, your guilt away. Well, that's one term, convict, being under conviction. Another term that many people use is I got saved. I was saved. We did a whole episode on this in the early days of this podcast. But to get saved means I've decided to make my faith personal. It's not just an intellectual thing. I personally want to have a relationship with God through Christ. Wonderful thing about Jesus, he's so tender, he's so loving, and he can be personal. And you don't need to be distant from him. So when people say, I got saved, what that meant is they came to that point where they knelt or they stood or they simply cried out to God and said, I need you. I don't want to follow my life following me as and pretending I'm God. I want to tell you I'm sorry. I want to ask you to forgive me. I accept what you did on the cross for me. You shed your blood as a substitute for me. And I want to accept that. It's like somebody writing a check to you. You have to endorse it if you want to cash it. God wrote a check to us. He said, you can live forever in heaven if you will follow my son, Jesus, if you will believe upon him. But unless you put your name on it and say, Lord, I apply this to my life. I want to follow you personally. I want to become your disciple. It just doesn't work unless you do that. And so this is an invitational song. It's really written sort of from the perspective of someone writing a loved one a letter who's never seemed to be that interested in Jesus. It's called Not Ready. So here it is. Thank you.
just not ready for Jesus. That's what I heard you say. You're just not ready to give him your heart. That's why I'm writing today. I just can't get you off my mind. How many years must you wait? It's always some future moment in time, but later might end up too late. 'Cause ready or not, like it or not, believe it or not, he's coming again, and there'll be no time for second chances then. Is coming again, and there'll be no time for second chances then. You're just not ready for Jesus. On this point we both agree. Get you off my mind, for I want you in heaven with me. I just can't get you off my mind. I just want to see you. I just want to be with you. Oh, I want you in heaven with me.
We've been listening to songs from my most recent CD called Living in the Shadow. When I say recent, it's 5 years old, but for me, it's recent. You know, when you don't have a big company paying all the bills, you just you do what you can. One of my favorite verses is where Jesus said about the woman who poured the perfume on his head. He said, leave her alone. She did what she can. All we can do, all I can do is what I can. So I have been able to do a few records, and so I'm playing you songs for them. We're almost at the end of it. I will just say about this song, this is a song about an old guy, which I am, who has decided to do what Jesus said, to keep your hand on the plow and not look back and keep doing the work all the way to the end. It's called Hand on the Plow. One of my favorite musical influences of all time was Fats Domino. He makes me happy when he sings. And I just love to hear him sing. Well, I was writing this song. You can play this song all sorts of ways. But I think what really inspired me, I was swimming one time. We have a pool because it's hot weather. And so I put on this CD of Fats Domino's Greatest Hits and played it while I swam. But the way I did it, I would swim till the CD was over and get out of the water. Well, by the time I heard all these Fats Domino songs, it had kind of the same piano beat and style, I just ended up doing this song in Fats Domino style. This is Hand on the Plow.
I've got my hand on the plow, and I'm walking straight ahead. I've got no reason to look back. I'm moving forward instead. I've got no interest in the past. There's a purpose for it all, and a mission to fulfill.
When I started out in ministry in 1970, the nation was in a great revival, and we didn't really know what we were doing, but we sure had passion, and we sure had fire, and we wanted people to know all about the Lord. And so I, as you know, I had a band. We traveled for several years, and then there came a time where things shifted. And I became a pastor, a co-pastor, for about 16 years, actually longer than that. And the music, it just sort of come to an end, all the hopes of getting a contract and all of that. And so as a pastor, what I ended up doing with the songs, it just happened this way. I began writing songs that we could sing in church. I began writing congregational songs. And the last song on this album is one of those. I got the tune of this song and had it for years. I never could get any words for it. And then one day, as I was sitting on the back porch getting ready to grill some hamburgers, I just started reading the Bible, and I landed on this verse, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him, even so, amen. When I read that, I knew I had the song. And I'm so happy that after all these years, it worked out for me to record this. I think this is just the piano, just my 88 friends, and a wonderful backup singer named Bobby, who sang with me. This is Behold, He is Coming. I hope you'll think about it and even worship him while you hear this song. Thank you for listening to this episode of Me and My 88 Friends. We'll have more interviews and conversations coming up in future episodes. But I just wanted to play these songs for you tonight. And I want to end with a song that is not on that album, a song that just came to me while I was just playing softly at the piano. I love blues and sort of jazzy piano, jazzy sounds, slow jazz. And this song is really inspired by one of Jesus' parables about a man who was a jeweler, and he found this wonderful pearl that was so expensive and so precious that he sold everything he had to buy that pearl. People call Jesus the pearl of great price. it's referring to this parable. And one day I was with my band. It was a night, and we had finished practicing. And I just asked Keith Hamrick to keep the tape running. And I sat down and sang this. And Keith spontaneously started playing some brushes on it. But I want to close with this, because he is a priceless pearl. If you don't know Jesus, or if you seem to have wandered away, I hope you will just, when this podcast is over, you will just sit alone with God for a little bit, and you'll just talk to him. And you'll just come back, and you'll say, Jesus, I've wandered, but I want to be close to you again. One thing for sure, he's not going to turn you away. So this is the pearl. Thank you for listening. God bless. I hope you tune in next week.
Priceless pearl, a jewel so rare. Extraordinaire. This priceless pearl, I may not be success in the eyes of the world, but I have no regrets, for I have found this priceless pearl. People look at me, nothing much to say, just an ordinary man. If they only knew, hidden from their view, how rich I am. For I hold in my hand a priceless pearl, a gem so fine. Can't believe it's mine. This priceless pearl. If they only knew, hidden from their view, how rich I am. And if I searched high and low throughout the world, I could never come close to what I found in this priceless pearl. This priceless pearl. joy to the world.
My 88 friends, I will sing you a song.